Everyone, this is Arzo, and you're listening to the Sexy Boss Babe Podcast.
Today, I have with me a gentleman by the name of Michael Dash, who wrote a book called Chasing the High about his experience as an entrepreneur that reached that pinnacle of success, came crashing down, and recreated his life in a whole new way. So, Michael, thank you for joining today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm glad that we're finally able to get everything working out and on this interview. So I met Michael about a couple weeks ago at one of his book launches. And he had a whole room of like 50 or almost 100 people talking about his experience and talking about his book. So, Michael, how has it been through this journey?
It's been great. Just trying to get the word out there that it's never too late to, you know, change your life from a negative mindset and negative behavior patterns to a different approach to life that has led me to a much more fulfilled sense of living.
That's I love hearing you say that and listening to you talk live. A lot of what you said resonated with me, and I think I'd mentioned to you in the Q&A that a lot of business owners that I've worked with kind of shared that similar experience as you had. And if you could just kind of share a little bit, I don't know how much of your book you want to share or how much of your story, because we want to keep it a little bit so there's a teaser so people go and check out your book. But you were just that, you know, go, 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 high drive, entrepreneur, success-minded guy. So what was that like? And you related a lot to addiction and if you could kind of share about that.
Yeah, it was very chaotic. It was a chaotic life and my mind was chaotic between my right and left ear. I mean, I was always, you know, on the go, never really taking care of myself mentally. Physically, I did. I would go to the gym all the time. I ran 4 marathons. I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. But mentally, I was worn out. I just wanted the next sale. Everything I did was about the dollar and making as much money as I possibly could. I made a lot of emotional decisions and I had an addictive personality and an addictive behavior pattern that started with gambling, led to cocaine. Then once I got a handle on those two, I discovered Adderall, and Adderall really fueled my emotions in the workplace. And that's really what affected me most as a leader and the relationships that I had with my employees. So I would not treat my employees the way they should have been treated. I would, when they would make mistakes, instead of leading from a way of empathy and mentorship, I would lead from a place of anger and correctness. And all behind, we just lost money. It was all from this fueling of money.
Mm-hmm. And the gambling and the addiction, was it something that was that kind of your lifestyle just always in general, or did it more so exacerbate during you were a business owner?
So gambling was in my life from 11 years old. I started gambling at 11 when I was at Thanksgiving. Okay. My uncle introduced me to it, and that started a 20-year gambling addiction. So I had gambling in my life growing up as a teenager. My father was an entrepreneur. I worked in his warehouse. All the guys there gambled. They took my bets. They brought me to the racetrack. My little league baseball coach was a bookie. So, you know, I grew up in New Jersey. So I was around gambling all the time. So I had that addiction early on. And then when I went into college, I started with the drugs and experimenting with almost, you know, I would say you name it, I've done it, but luckily I haven't done anything like heroin or meth, but really everything else I tried, and I got kind of hooked on cocaine. Okay. So cocaine and gambling were like linked at the hip for me for like 7 years when I was working in New York City. And it wasn't. Yeah,
wow. Yeah. Okay.
Every weekend I would, every day I would gamble, every weekend I would do cocaine.
Wow. So just a very fast lifestyle. And you obviously hit a point of success in your business. But was it sustainable or was it not?
So I left New York City to follow a business opportunity to, of all places, Salt Lake City, Utah. And I had a business partner out there. We built the business from scratch. We built it up to $5.5 million a year in revenue. And then I bought her out, and she basically violated our agreement. In my eyes, she did. And so I withheld a payment due to her, letting her know that we were doing an internal investigation and whether she violated the terms. And she sued me. So from that started a 6-year lawsuit, which ended up costing me over $1 million. So I am the example of somebody who made millions and lost millions. And, you know, it was all fueled by partying, by other investments. Like, I invested in a bar, so I was in that lifestyle. I was doing drugs.
Right.
You know, and Adderall really was fueling me at work, as I described before.
Right. And one of the things that you talked about at that live event that I attended was just your idea of what success is. And it's very in line with a lot of people out there right now, that success is this, you know, yachts, cars, money, properties, girls. And that was kind of your idea.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up under the notion that if I had money, then that equaled happiness. And that meant I would have the houses, the cars, the pinstripe suits, the nicest watches, the boats, the yachts, all of that. Like, I truly believe that. I used to tell people when I'm going to work my butt off until I'm 50 years old, then I'm going to retire, buy a yacht, sail around the world, and have women fanning me with big leaves. I mean, it's so ridiculous, but I have to repeat it, because that's what I would tell people. And I literally believe that. What's interesting is earlier today, I'm in New York City. I had a book launch, and earlier today I went to the first company I ever worked for. Like, one of the guys there saw him that I was in the city, and he hit me up. And I ran up to their office, and I worked there for 4 years, and I saw the same people working there. Like, there were four of the same guys working there that I worked with 20 something years ago. And I was sitting with one of the guys, and I'm like, so do you enjoy it? Like, because I know when I was there, neither of us enjoyed it. We made a lot of money though. And he's like, no, I don't enjoy it.
Right.
I mean, I've been doing this for 20 something years, but the money is great. So I deal with it.
Okay.
Like, and I looked at him and I'm like, okay, well, you know, if that's okay for you, like, I can't do that anymore in my life. I can't do something where the sole purpose behind it is how much I make. If I'm not passionate and I don't really enjoy it and I'm not fulfilled with what I'm doing, then I don't care how much money I can make. I will not do it. And that's the transformation that I've made in my life.
So that's really interesting, because, you know, again, a lot of people, and we talked about this, a lot of entrepreneurs, men and women alike, are chasing that. If I make X, Y, and Z dollar, and I am able to buy this type of lifestyle for myself, wear these brand names, that is success. And that means happiness. And you are the example that says, no, I did that. I got to that place and I realized it wasn't happiness.
Correct. And I'm not a big believer in happiness. Personally, I look at it as fulfillment. I reframe happiness and I call it fulfillment for a reason, because there are certain buckets in our lives that I feel we need to fill to feel complete, whole, and really feel good about ourselves. And, you know, those are everything from, obviously, you have your entrepreneurial or your work bucket, you have your health bucket, you have your, you know, fitness bucket, your philanthropy bucket, your family bucket, your friends bucket, your travel bucket, right? And there are, and your mindfulness bucket, right? And, you know, the ideal goal is to fill all those buckets, for me, at least halfway, you know, every single week. Now, obviously, maybe not the travel bucket, but the travel bucket maybe every month, right? But I'm not going to be traveling every single week.
Right.
That'll be too much. But all the other buckets, filling them halfway. And if I can fill all those buckets on a consistent basis halfway, then that to me is what fulfillment actually is. And then that fulfillment really keeps me between the, what I like to call 5, 6, and 7s. And that's a way to live life. So you don't have to continually go to all these extremes, because it's not sustainable and it's not reasonable and it's not healthy that you're speaking of.
From the time that you left your business until the time that you wrote your book, you really changed your life. So what was it that caused you to shift and change, and what happened?
Yeah. So I actually took a trip to Bali, and I heard on this, it was a retreat called Unconventional Life. And I highly recommend everybody check it out. Amazing group of eclectic people from around the world. And there were two people talking about flow, and Justin and Jackie, with the premise being making decisions by following your intuition and through your heart and versus your head. And that if you lived a life like this, things would come effortlessly to you, and you would be able to start manifesting things in your life, clearing out all these limiting beliefs, and, you know, changing your belief system. And I thought it was BS. I was kind of brought up with this attitude that anybody who's talking about flow or astrology or energy or meditation, it's all like some cheesy nonsense, right? I mean, I grew up in New Jersey on the East Coast, so they don't really buy into that out here, not nearly as much as in other places. So that's just the notion I had. So I was
all us weirdos in California.
Yeah, I know. Now I'm one of them, which is great, and I embrace every part of it. So I basically met it with resistance. I pushed back against them, and then it was just at a point that I was in so much pain internally. I was running a business that was running me. I was in a sick, at the time, 5-year lawsuit that had cost me $1 million. I, you know, was smoking weed every night, marijuana every night, and I was popping Adderall every day. So my emotional state was all over the place. And I was just very, like, had this self-loathing attitude and very arrogant also. And not accepting of certain things. So I met it with resistance, but they talked to me after, and I left the conversation with them, and I flew back to Utah from Bali. And I kept thinking to myself, would it be so bad to live a different way? And I kept saying that over and over and over. And the answer was no. It actually felt liberating. So I decided for the first time in my life not to drop any of my preconceived notions and take this course on flow. And it's called Flow Consciousness Institute. And if you want to find out more about it. And basically you go through this process of clearing out your limiting beliefs by tapping. I don't know if people are familiar with tapping at all who are listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're familiar with tapping. And like,
I'm familiar with it, but yeah, you kind of tap certain areas and it's supposed to release stress or something, right?
Yeah, and they combine that with EMDR.
Okay, I don't know what EMDR is. What is that?
So it's like this emotional release of the negative energy. So where you're actually speaking out loud, like your limiting beliefs to clear them. And you're moving your eyes back and forth while you're doing this. So you're tapping, you're repeating like a limiting belief, like change is difficult, for instance, and you're moving your eyes back and forth. I thought it was weird, very, very weird. But I said,
Is the eye thing, is that like a third eye thing? Is it to activate your third eye and help you to remove it? Is that what it is?
I'm not completely sure. Like I'm not the person who like will go into all the technical aspects of everything. I will give it a try, and if it's actually working, then I'll resonate with it and I'll embrace it. Sure. But the actual, you know, technicalities of it, I recommend going to flowconsciousnessinstitute.com and you can find out about those. So I just knew,
but it worked.
I just knew. Wow, you know, things after I did that, things started changing in my life. Like actually, things started changing. So I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow. I was able to start manifesting solutions to problems that I had in my life that I was trying to logically think of solutions, but I couldn't come up with anything.
Right.
And I was overthinking, rethinking, doing all this stuff versus just putting it out, putting that energy and putting it out into the world and manifesting things. And, you know, look, if I heard me talking right now 10 years ago, I would be like, who the hell is this person? I'm not going to listen to him. It's ridiculous. But it worked. So I didn't, you know, so for the first time, being able to experience something I had an impression about without, you know, ever trying it, which is very short-sighted on my part. But now being able to release that and then just go in with an open mind and embrace it allowed me to incorporate it and really make a big shift in my life. And things started changing for me, which eventually a year later led me to, over the course of that year, I sold all four of my houses. Like I had four houses. They were just weighing me down. Like I just didn't want to be responsible for these anymore. I had a business and that, and I had this lawsuit. I was able to sell the lawsuit, settle the lawsuit, take the money from the lawsuit, pay off my attorneys, be free and clear, and sell the business. And, yeah, it felt like a complete weight was lifted. I actually equated to, I felt like I had all these hooks in my body, right? The houses were hooks. The company was a hook. The lawsuit was a hook. The smoking marijuana was a hook. Like all these things, like consistent things that I was continuing to do were like all hooks in my body. And they were like weighing me down, like binge watching like reality television for, which is the most embarrassing thing out of everything that I,
we all do that, it. That we all do about. It.
Yeah. So when I sold those, well, it wasn't like I just sold all four, like I sold one at a time. It was like one hook was coming up. I started to feel lighter and that I could breathe. And it was just, it was a great feeling.
That's really great to hear. And your experience through the process, what I liked about your story in particular, you're kind of that typical, not typical, but I meant like a traditional masculine male that isn't the type to believe in all these, you know, self-healing type of methodologies. And I'm stereotyping here, but a lot of men are like that. A lot of successful, masculine, strong men, productive, successful, are similar. And you really kind of went against the grain by embracing this whole Bali experience and going through the changes in the process. So to me, it reminds me a lot of, I think you know, Lewis House, if I'm saying his name right. He wrote a book called Mask of Masculinity, and he kind of breaks that kind of traditional masculine male persona and lets experience this other way of being. And that's kind of what I sense through your experience.
Yeah, I do listen to Lewis House's podcast, actually, for inspiration. And his podcast is called School of Greatness. And it's more about the people that he interviews and their stories of overcoming challenges in their life. And there's a variety of challenges across the board. So I do listen to that. That's one of the things. But to be frank, it was really much more about my community in Bali, the group called Unconventional Life, the retreat I went on, the people I met there that started cracking and opening my mindset, and two people talking about flow and living in flow by making decisions by following your intuition, something I had never done before or had been exposed to before. That really started shifting the mindset for me slowly. And when I took their course, then I really let go of the preconceived notions I had been carrying around with me for years and embraced what was ahead. And that's when I started shifting things in my life.
Interesting. And was there somebody that told you about this program, or you ended up on a vacay to Bali and then came across this and started going to this course?
No, well, I discovered this unconventional life retreat. It was a retreat I went on, and I discovered it through my entrepreneur organization that I'm a part of called YEC. We have a Facebook group where we share different challenges we're dealing with, suggestions, comments, and somebody posted up there, hey, there's this really cool group called Unconventional Life. If anybody's interested in going, they're going to Bali. I'll connect you with the person running it. So I saw Bali and I'm like, I want to go to Bali. And I just I applied for it. So, you know, I went on that trip, and on that trip, they had some workshops and breakout sessions. And in one of the breakout sessions, two people were talking about flow. Mm-hmm. So it was happenstance, really. And, you know, everything happens for a reason. And I believe that did as well.
Very interesting. So you go to Bali, you come back, you sell off the houses, you get past the lawsuit. What happens with your life after that?
So after Bali, I really wanted to be close to the ocean. There's something about the ocean and the waves crashing against the shore and being able to just sit out there, whether it's just relaxing, whether it's meditating, whatever it is, the ocean is just something about the roar of the ocean and then the calmness of it at the same time that really resonated with me, because I think those are my two distinct personalities. There's the roar, the masculine side,
right?
And then that feminine side, which is the, you know, much more calm, thought-provoking, like in tune with emotion. And the ocean really resonates with me for those reasons. So I moved out to Redondo Beach, California, and I started and I finished my book. I finished writing my book. So after I finished writing my book, Chasing the High, then I started developing a course under a platform that I've built called FATE, F-A-T-E, From Addict to Entrepreneur. Under this platform, I have two distinct verticals. One, I interview former addicts who are now entrepreneurs and built multi-million dollar companies, and talk about their challenges and how they overcame them, what they're doing with their companies, and then the shared traits of addicts and entrepreneurs, because there are a lot. So I have that, and I've been dropping parts of that interview on YouTube, which I recently just started. So you can find that under From Addict to Entrepreneur on YouTube. But what I do with that is I write articles for Thrive Global and for Medium. So those are two online publications. So that's one part. The other part is a 10-week course that I've built out where I'm working with entrepreneurs and business leaders who have addictive and compulsive behavior challenges that are actually affecting them at their as leaders in their company, affecting their home life, and affecting how they treat and show up with their friends. So those are and if anybody's interested in that, they can go to michaelgdash.com/fate, F-A-T-E. So that's kind of where I've put all my focus and energy. And now I'm just, you know, reinventing myself from somebody who is in the staffing world for 20 years and at 44, reinventing, you know, the direction of my life.
Well, I think that's great that you took obviously just a lifetime of being a certain way and a pattern of behaviors that took you to a bad place and then overcoming it and then doing something positive with it that's going to help other people that you've gone through or going through what you went through. And so you made this comment just a second ago that the addiction behavior is very similar to entrepreneur behavior. You said something like that. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, no, not the behavior itself, but there's traits that both entrepreneurs and addicts share. And what I've discovered through the interview series is that if you can take an addict and put them on the right track, they can have they could be extremely successful entrepreneurs. And some of the most successful entrepreneurs in the world have been addicts in the past, and most people just don't know about it. And so some of those traits that I've discovered is that ability to never take no for an answer. Right. That perseverance. Yes. That creative mind that you will go above and beyond and do whatever you need to do to get that fix or job done in entrepreneurship. So those are just a few examples of, you know, some traits that can really be used from a positive aspect if pointed in the right direction and supported by the right people. You know, addicts can be some of the best entrepreneurs out there.
Interesting. What an interesting perspective, and giving people that have experienced addiction a positive outlet for some of those behavior patterns. That's a cool spin on that.
For sure.
So all of this is written out in your book, and it kind of describes all the experiences in much more detail, right?
Yeah. All the experiences are written out in the book. There's some crazy stories, some foolish things that I did throughout my life, and then how with the other side of it, and most importantly, some tips and really steps that people can incorporate into their lives, whether they have addiction issues or not, if they're looking to live healthier lives and build better habits. You know, there's definitely some great nuggets in there for people to follow.
That's really amazing. And is your course, is it available already?
It's available in 3 weeks. There's a webinar, though, that is available starting July 1st. So if anybody's interested in learning more, it's a free webinar where you can sit in on it and learn what the program is and the four main pillars and steps that I take everybody through, starting with a circle of prosperity that we build out so that you can live your life devoted to activities that keep you healthy, optimized, and performing at peak levels.
Oh, that's great. So starting, you said July 1st?
July 1st, yeah, is, well, that's like 3 days away. So as we're recording this now. So, and you can find that at the link I gave out before, michaelgdash.com/fate. And there you can sit in on the webinar and, you know, hear the webinar all the way through, what it's about and everything. And if it resonates with you, schedule a call with me and we could discuss further about the program and seeing if you're a good fit.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, I love this story. It's just such a great story of overcoming adversity and then doing something positive with it. I think we all like to hear stories like this, and it gives all of us hope to continue. And if we have obstacles that we face, that it's not the end of the world. So thank you so much for sharing everything.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on, Arzo.
Thank you so much. And if people want to follow you on Instagram or social media, how can they do that?
Instagram is MDASH1 and Facebook is Michael.-1 or Michael Dash. You can find me under there. And I'm on LinkedIn and follow the YouTube I just released. So I have interviews that are going to be dropping. So find the Fate YouTube, from addict to entrepreneur.
Well, excellent. Well, everybody, you've heard it here straight from Michael Dash. Please follow him and support what his projects are. If this resonates with you, or let other people know. I'm sure we all know somebody in our life that could benefit from what his experiences have been. So you guys know where to follow Michael. So thank you again for joining us. And if anyone wants to follow us, we are at The Sexy Boss Babe, and our website is www.sexybossbabe.com. Thanks everyone for joining. Till next time.
One last thing, guys. As a reminder, we're a social impact company, and for every purchase of a Sexy Boss Babe product, we're able to support charities that help foster youth and survivors of sex trafficking. There are 500,000 kids in the American foster care system, and 60% of sex trafficking victims are either former or current foster youth. This demographic needs our help, and before we can do that, we need to raise awareness. We've started an awareness campaign using the hashtag SBBMovement. You can help us raise the awareness through using that hashtag. To learn more about this cause and this movement and what more you can do, please visit our website at www.sexybossbabe.com. We really believe that together we can make a difference. Thank you for listening.